This is the Hockey News Podcast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Hockey News Podcast. I am writer-editor Matt Lark, and I'm here with associate senior writer Ryan Kennedy and a special guest for the second time in 2 weeks. It's becoming a trend. We've got managing editor Edward Fraser in the building.
At what point do I get to be not special?
You might just be guest.
I'm probably not special anymore. Let's be honest. I was never really special.
You'll be guest emeritus.
and is he even a guest? He's just here in the office, anyways.
Here.
He's just nothing. Yeah. There's no title.
I'm just.
That was the dead air sound. That's his title.
That's right.
Well. That aside, we have a lot to talk about this week, most notably the bombshell that the Florida Panthers dropped on Sunday, leaving poor Gerard Gallant waiting for a taxi cab. They fired their coach, a guy who was a Jack Adams Award finalist last year, so quite the change. Obviously, the Panthers have been struggling compared to last year, but I don't know. Was this a rash move? What do you guys think? What's your first reaction?
With all due respect to Rowley, couldn't you have left the guy in a nicer city? I mean, if you're going to gas a guy and leave him on the road, how about New York? How about Chicago? You know, like a tourist destination.
Or call him an Uber. Call him an Uber.
Okay, well, for the record, I was on the conference call with the Panthers brass, and Tom Rowe, GM, now taking over coaching duties, pointed out that not seen in that photo is Tom Rowe. Tom Rowe was there, and the Panthers did, in fact, call the car service. So, not as bad as it first appeared, but he did, you know, he acknowledged the optics, but pointed out that he was, in fact, right next to Gerard Gallant. So,
that's fair.
Not as bad.
But the clickbait version of the story is funnier.
Man, I know, it's so much, You don't get on Deadspin with coach fired, leaves amicably.
Yeah. Given appropriate transportation.
Yes, exactly. Coach taken care of. Still friends. My takeaway from this is kind of twofold. One, Gerard Gallant, loved by a lot of people. You know, a player's coach. Apparently the Florida players are very upset by this move. But this transitions into my second point, which is I feel that Florida management saw a lot of things that they didn't like, and this was a way of getting in their new guy, whoever it happens to be in the long term, because Tom Rowe is interim coach. And the fact that the Panthers are off to a slow start helped sort of push things over. They specifically said in the conference call that blowing the lead to Carolina was kind of the final straw. But what I see is, you know, Tom Rowe saying, we need to play with more pace. We need to attack more on defense. Special teams is an issue. It feels like the Panthers were slipping under Gallant. And you know what? This happens so much with any coach affiliated with the Jack Adams Award. You know, win or come close, where they have a really good season and then all of a sudden you get, like, diminishing returns. Sure, they've had injuries, but it seems like, you know, Gallant favored size. You know, Elliot Friedman was reporting that he didn't like the Erik Gudbranson trade. He didn't like the Logan Shaw trade. The Panthers, clearly, they want speed and skill. Tom Rowe said so himself. You know, he wants them to be in that Pittsburgh Penguins mode. And I think this was just, the road was splitting. And Gallant, he was going one way. Panthers were going another way. People don't like it. But, I mean, it's their organization.
I think everything you're saying, Ryan, it makes sense in theory. I understand the logic, I understand the concept of wanting to get your guy in, but what really kind of irks me about this decision is just the Panthers don't even know what they have, because arguably no team had greater turnover in the offseason. I have their roster in front of me from our yearbook, and guys who are new to the roster, who weren't on the team last year, Jared McCann, Colton Sevier, Jonathan Marchessault, Keith Yandel, Jason Demers, Mark Pesek, James Reimer, Red O'Bara, guys that were on the playoff roster last year that are gone, Brian Campbell, Dmitry Kulikov, Erik Gudbranson, Teddy Purcell, Al Montoya, Quentin Howden, the team was completely different. So it just feels like a cop-out to me. I feel for Gerard Gallant, even if I don't necessarily like his coaching style, even if I think the Panthers' new philosophy is going in the right direction, I just don't see how the firing was fair, especially factoring in Jonathan Huberdeau injured for the start of the season. They just have no idea what their team really is because they changed the damn thing so much.
Well, first of all, this answers a question for me, and that is, wow, Red O'Bear is in Florida? Secondly, and much more importantly, is what message does this send to your team? What other team in the league has their coach as their GM, and vice versa?
None. I don't think any anymore.
Because you don't do it now. Because the jobs are too detailed. You can't do it. So you're giving up on this year?
Oh.
I mean, you're not going to have a GM. You're going to have a GM as your coach for the entire season?
In a cap system, too. We've seen it. We saw it with Pat Quinn back in the day, Mike Keenan. But in a cap era?
It hasn't happened. And it shouldn't happen. You bring in an interim coach. I don't care. You fire Gerard Gallant, no problem. You think your team's underachieving? Absolutely, well within your right. I have no issue with that move whatsoever. Your GM can't be your coach. You bring somebody else in. This isn't a waiting game. This season isn't over. You're 22 games into this year.
And you play in the Atlantic.
You play to win the game. And this is not over. They're not far. They're not that bad. They're a 500 hockey club. So I just don't get the messaging that you're sending to your team. Because it's a job that cannot be done. It's jobs that cannot be done by one man.
But to be fair, they were saying on the call that the playoffs is the goal. And I think what we're going to see is Tom Rowe is mostly going to be focused on coaching. And you're going to see Eric Joyce, Steve Warrior, the assistant GMs. They're going to be handling more of the personnel side. So I think you're right. You can't do two jobs in this day and age. And I think that's what they're trying to mitigate, where they have this managerial structure they've created. And you also have Dale Talon in the mix. Don't forget. I think that's the route they're going to go, where at least in the short term for the remainder of the season, Tom Rowe is going to be more heavily focused on the coaching aspect. And the other guys are going to more take over his duties.
Starting to sound pretty convoluted to me. It's not like there's not a lot of coaches out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's some good guys out there who you can reach out to and take over this club. If on an interim basis, if they do well, fine, you're the new guy. If not,
see ya.
Year after year. I just don't like the move, and I don't like the optics of having the GM take over as a coach.
What I'm wondering, too, is Gerard Gallant immediately the number one candidate now to take over Vegas?
I think he's in there. I think, Travis Green is a name that always comes up for me. I think Kevin Dineen deserves another shot at a head coaching gig. You certainly have options. And we haven't even thought of guys that might get fired throughout the season.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, maybe you don't want a guy that just got fired. I can understand that.
I'm not sure Hitchcock's done. This isn't my idea. I'm honestly, this is a Ken Campbell hypothesis, but, Ken Hitchcock's done in St. Louis, but I don't know if he's done coaching.
I can't picture Ken Hitchcock in Vegas, though. I just can't.
Yeah, it seems like a bit of an odd fit. To me, Vegas has got to be a team that, they've got to be excited.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're going to want a guy who's going to play an up-tempo brand of hockey. And if Ken Hitchcock, if nothing else, he can adapt to his players. That's one thing he's an excellent coach at. He's not a guy who comes in with a system and is going to shove it down his team's throat. He's going to adapt to the players that he has on the ice. And I mean, there's no coach in the world that's just going to make this team a winner off the bat. So you just need a guy who can make them exciting and make them competitive.
Yeah.
And you know what? If you're trying to get guys to come to your team via free agency, you might want a player-friendly coach. And Gerard Gallant...
Now, there you go.
Player-friendly coach.
I'd like to see Ralph Kruger. Come on, Ralph. Cross that pond again, my friend. Who cares about Southampton?
Ralph Kruger's really going to come back across the pond to coach a team that'll be lucky to win 20 games.
Take a massive, massive pay cut and come coach Las Vegas. We saw the Philadelphia Flyers make an interesting move, putting the prospect goaltender Anthony Stolarz into the crease. And he looked pretty, pretty good. He's got great size. We remember him from a few years back with the London Knights. He's been a pretty good prospect. And to me, that just wasn't any random appearance by a prospect goalie, because you've got Michael Neuwirth injured for part of the season, also struggling. You have Steve Mason struggling. Both guys are unrestricted free agents at the end of the year. So I'm starting to wonder now, is this an audition for Stolarz? And if you're Ron Hextall, are you pondering installing him by next year as your starting goaltender? Or are you going to take a run at a free agent like Ben Bishop?
I don't think there's any doubt in my mind that they're auditioning him. I mean, the goaltending situation, like, repeated record here, the record is skipping, is problematic in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
It's sad when your GM was the last steady goaltending you had. Yeah, I mean, can he be the long-term solution? Is he ready now? You know, that we're going to find out at times this season. But, yeah, I mean, the two guys, Neuwirth and Mason, I highly doubt you're going to see either one of those guys back in Philadelphia next year. It's just not good enough. The question is, you know, can you go through the growing pains in Philadelphia with a guy like Stolarz? Because young guys are going to have off nights. But this team, they're not ready to win. Mm-hmm. They're not a Stanley Cup contender. So you might be able to grow with those growing pains. You might be able to go through those growing pains and not have you bother you too much, because this is a team that needs to get better before it's ready. And Stolarz may be the long-term solution. I think you're going to get a good idea of that as this season goes along. But this is very calculated for me. No one better to make that decision than Ron Hextall, who's mm-hmm. in a position like nobody else.
Yeah. I feel that you need to bring in a Ben Bishop or someone of that ilk in the summer, and maybe you go with him and Stolarz as the backup. Keep in mind, right now Philly's getting dragged down by their goaltending. Their defense is only going to get better as, you know, Gostis Behar, Provorov, some of the other young kids that are going to come in the next couple of years, whether it be Sanheim, Robert Hägg, Samuel Morin, they're going to push out the Andrew McDonalds of the world. You know, Mark Streit is going to retire at some point, though he's had a remarkably long career.
Mm-hmm.
As they do that, you have to keep in mind, Claude Giroux is in his prime right now. Wayne Simmonds is in his prime. Jakub Voracek is in his prime. You do have a couple of young, good forwards. Obviously, Travis Konecny playing really well for them, but I think unfortunately, Philly's a market where I do think they kind of have to win now, and I don't think they can do it this season because, I mean, we've seen Mason go on incredible runs in the past. That's how he won the Calder Trophy with Columbus. But let's pretend that Philly, you know, at best gets a wild card slot in the playoffs and gets bounced in the first round. You say goodbye to those two and say, okay, we got to just make a big play here. Maybe Stolarz is the long-term answer, but I think he needs more time than he needs more runway right now. I think if you can bring in somebody, even for another like 1 or 2 years, who is an elite goaltender, then you can make a run and see what you have there. And then it's not too abrupt. Otherwise, you could really take a step back when you don't mean to.
Is Ben Bishop enough to make this team a contender in the East?
I don't think so, and it's weird. I'm going to play devil's advocate, not just against you guys, but against myself, because even last week I was saying in the office, Ben Bishop's going to Philly. I don't know if I agree with it anymore, because if you look at Ron Hextall's pattern since taking over as GM, if you describe him in one word, it's conservative. He was very inactive, especially this past offseason. It seems like he's making a real habit of trying to avoid big splashes in free agency, getting stuck with the RJ Umbergers of the world. Sorry, RJ, but that's the truth, right?
Yeah.
So what I'm wondering is Philly crossing its collective fingers, hoping that Stolarz is a Matt Murray or a Connor Hellebuyck or one of those young guys, because then he's still very young in his career, not even at his restricted free agent year yet. A lot cheaper than it would cost to sign a Ben Bishop, who's going to get, I don't know, maybe $7 million a year on the open market. It's funny
and how long term.
And long term. Yeah.
That's the biggest thing.
Yeah. True.
That's right. Because he's going to be the pick of the litter, especially now that Brent Burns is off the market. I think Ben Bishop's one of the top two free agents, I'd argue. I think Kevin Shattenkirk is going to get really paid. But at the goaltending position, it's not even close. It's Bishop by a mile. So to me, I think Bishop's going to be able to say, hey, I want the Pekka Rinne deal. I want the Tuukka Rask deal. 7 years. $49 million.
Sure.
So, Philly, I mean, you could picture a situation where Philly signs that deal in a couple of years. It's like, oh, Bishop's, you know, he's a big guy. He gets hurt a lot. His game starts to regress. And it's, oh, here we go again.
Risk all over again.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If there's no team in the league that should be more gun shy about signing a I don't want to say unproven commodity, but the success of Ben Bishop has been 3 years, maybe?
Yeah, three or four years.
It's been good.
Yeah.
But he's also had a really good team in front of him with a really good defense core.
Mm-hmm.
Philly's a long ways off from that. And you're right, big-time injury prone. Even his teeth aren't immune.
First goalie to lose teeth.
I mean,
through a mask.
Yeah.
He lost teeth through a mask.
I mean,
since Gump Worsley.
Let's be honest. Like, Stolarz is going to answer the question for us with his play this year on whether he's ready. But I don't think you go and chase a big name guy like Bishop. He just can't afford to. You might need a veteran to come in and you either platoon with Stolarz.
Mm.
But I don't think you can go out there and try to hit a home run on your goaltending. It's just too risky especially when a team is just. I don't think they're there yet.
Yeah. But here's the problem. If you go to the tier under a Ben Bishop or a Marc-Andre Fleury, who Philly's never going to get Fleury from Pittsburgh.
No.
There's no way that's ever going to happen.
No.
You're looking at a Steve Mason or a Michael Neuber.
How about a Thomas Greiss? How about a Thomas Greiss and Stolarz platoon starting next year?
No, man. That is...
I think it sounds pretty good. It's
cheap. The words of Dr. Gonzo from Fear and Loathing, that is No, you can't do that.
But Stolarz has upside. He can pull a Mason circa his rookie year and propel this team higher. If you're just going to, you're right, settling on a second tier guy is not going to get you Stanley Cup.
Man.
This team is not talented enough to win without superior goaltending.
Yeah.
But you're in the catch 22 of you can't gamble and spend to get said superior goaltending.
Yeah.
So
it's interesting because you're right. They need to do something bold, but if that bold doesn't work, then you're maybe worse off than you are now. They're kind of one of those tweener teams right now where you're not really sure what direction they should go to. It seems odd to say, well, they should just blow it up because they have so many nice parts. But yeah, what do you want to be right now, Philadelphia? And what do you want to be next season?
Well, if they can get Kevin Shattenkirk, that changes things. If they can get 1 and 2 on Matt Larkin's free agent power rankings right now at THN.com.
Nice plug.
Then things change. Then you kind of propel them up into maybe the top 5. But otherwise, I don't know. I'm iffy about their defense. Big time. Big time.
One team, I mean, there's two teams that I'm iffy about, but I don't know if I'm iffy about them in different ways. The Ottawa Senators and the Winnipeg Jets, two different teams, two different conferences, two Canadian teams. We had the Jets in the playoffs, the Senators out. Right now in the standings, it's the reverse. Ottawa's 14-7-1, and the Jets are sixth place in the Central Division. Do you guys see things staying this way? Are the Senators for real? Are the Jets not for real? Or do you think we're going to see these teams flip-flop throughout the season?
I think you're going to see the Sens come back to earth. I don't know how they're doing it, quite frankly. You know, on paper, this team is not as good as they're playing. And Winnipeg, I think that just might be who they are. You know, they're not the new Edmonton, but we keep waiting for this big jump.
We keep projecting them on paper.
And yes, yeah. And you want to talk about goaltending issues. Like, it's good, but can you really trust the two youngest, lowest paid goaltenders in the league to take that team out of the toughest division in the league? Are we still calling
it? Absolutely.
Yeah,
the Shark Tank.
I just don't see Winnipeg jumping over the three or four teams they need to in order to be that elite team.
I'm going to say I have a certain amount of faith in Ottawa. I'm not calling them a playoff contender by any means. I think they can make the playoffs. And the main reason, and this is kind of fascinating to me, is this is good Craig Anderson year. Historically, just fascinating. Craig Anderson goes good year, bad year, and he's done it ever since he joined Ottawa from Colorado in 2011. You look at his save percentages, and it's just wild. So 939 when he plays a partial season in Ottawa. That's great. Next season, 913. Bad. Next season after that, 941. That's great.
Modern day record.
Next season after that, 911. That's bad. Next season after that, 923, which is good, but they made the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Last year, 916. Bad once again. They missed the playoffs. This year, 936. So even though they're one of the weakest possession teams in the league, even though they don't have anywhere close to a point-per-game player, Erik Karlsson, I believe, has 17 points in 22 games. He's the best. I think they're going to be one of those beat-the-system teams that rides goaltending into the playoffs, and then from there it's probably a quick exit because one team can figure out Craig Anderson in 7 games. But for now, I think that it's just, it's one of those fluky things. When Craig Anderson plays really well, Ottawa makes the playoffs. When he doesn't, they miss the playoffs. Statistically, they should make the playoffs this year. As for Winnipeg, I would agree the goaltending. Hailbuck's playing a lot better than Hutchinson. But it just seems like, for whatever reason, it's not coming together. I think they're too inconsistent right now. Patrick Laine is a great kind of microcosm of that team. He's had some fantastic performances. He's had some stretches where he hasn't had much luck, which is not surprising for a rookie. But if we're talking about the Jets as a whole, they're a little disappointing. And yeah, maybe some life lessons there for Winnipeg that they got to be a little more cohesive, even though they're getting fantastic top-end play from guys
Mark
like Scheifele.
Yeah, Mark Scheifele's real deal. Yeah.
Former THN podcast guest.
That's right. For whatever reason, they're not getting the depth, and they're not getting the scoring all around. And, yeah, they just don't seem to have it. And every year, there's always one team that you just can't explain why they're not good. I feel like that might be Winnipeg.
Yeah. It's interesting. On the Ottawa side, I'm not buying them yet. Like you said, bad possession numbers, and I know there is a team often every year that beats the system. But if you look at that goal differential, the Senators are even, I think, right now, and they're really having trouble scoring. Anderson has been injury-prone often in his career, so I worry there's an injury coming there. If there's any slip-up in play, I just don't think... I don't think there's enough scoring ability, enough talent to support what they've done so far over the long term, and the sample size gets bigger. I'm going to predict that Ottawa falls out. As for Winnipeg, I mean, they confound me. I want to believe in them. I'm a huge believer in Connor Hellebuyck. I think he's the X factor of the season, and you know he's starting to look excellent. I think he had, what did he have, 42 saves the other night. If he keeps playing like that, then it really transforms the team. But I'm starting to wonder, for all the talk, not just the talk, but the action in firing Gerard Gallant, Paul Maurice is a guy that, to me, for a team, considering the results he's had and the talent he's had on that team for several seasons now, I'm surprised at the amount of leash he has. And I know he's a very well-liked coach. He's well-liked around the league. But it seems like he just gets chance after chance with team after team. He's got 9 lives. And I look at the Jets, especially a team with young players like Laine, a team lacking consistency that needs sort of a kick in the ass. That's, to me, a team that might need a coaching change, especially because we've seen in historically in the NHL, when a new coach comes in, the immediate effect is often very positive. It doesn't always last, but there's often a very quick spike as players feel more motivation, or maybe that's the reason we can't necessarily prove that, but historically there does seem to be a spike. There even was a spike when Paul Maurice first came to the Jets, took over from Claude Noel. So I do wonder if that's a team that's ripe for the next coaching change. And it's a fair point about Edmonton. I want to believe in the Jets, but there's always that team that's so sexy on paper. They got all the best prospects, high farm system ranking, but then it comes time to play the games, and they don't win the games.
Yeah, I feel bad for the Jets that they play in that division. I mean, it's just tough. Like, it really is, and it's a really good point you make about Paul Maurice. You know, that's if that team isn't right there come the second half, yeah, he's got to be on the chopping block. But you know, the thing is, it's just there's so much you have to hop over, and even with teams struggling in that division who should be doing well, even if you get better, I think other teams are going to get right better along with them. So they're just kind of stuck in a rock and a hard place. There is no matter how good that team gets, there's just going to be other teams in that division who are better than them. So I still think they're a year or two away.
You're going to get hopovers.
Well, it's interesting about the Central, too, because the Predators were in town, and I actually talked after the game to Ryan Johansson about this, and I said something like, you know, you're in the division of death, and he burst out laughing, even though they'd just lost a game, and he was in a bad mood, but he couldn't help but laugh, and he said, yeah, you know what, we do look at the schedule, we look at the calendar, and we watch the standings every time we're playing a Central team, because you have to live that way,
sure,
because the division is just so deadly. You can't afford to lose even a single game against a team you can fall behind. It's almost time for Wuzzy Ranger, but first of all, I just want to get a quick survey, a 3-person survey. Pass or fail, the Golden Knights logo.
Love it.
Oh, big time pass.
Yeah. Big time pass.
Yeah, love it. Looks awesome on a hat. Can't wait to see the uniform. Yeah, it hits all the right notes for me.
Yeah, I'm not big on the name, but I absolutely love the logo. Yeah, it's fantastic logo.
And it's funny, a lot of people say, the logo looks like Magneto. And I say, and the problem there is,
yeah,
Magneto's cool.
Best villain ever.
Yeah, I'm pretty cool. I like Michael Fassbender. I like Ian McKellen.
Yeah.
Put his helmet on a jersey.
Yeah, I worried that they were going to go a little wacky.
Rastify at 10%?
Yeah, that we'd see a some kind of knight in some morphed form.
Holding a hockey stick instead of a
sword. Yeah, that's exactly. You know, go back to the, you know, maybe be inspired by the London Knights Spider-Man uniform.
Oh,
you know,
or knight just, throwing playing cards.
Yeah, like just something awful like that. And no, they kept it simple. They kept it classy. 100% pass. Yeah, I really feel like it's an A-plus logo.
Agreed. Well, it's time. It's time.
About that time. The
most exciting part of the week. Wuzzy Ranger. I hope you guys...
I've never played one.
Oh, this is Edward's first time.
I mean, I've played it outside because this is where this came from. We used to play it all the time outside the office. Yeah. It's a fascinating game.
Okay, I got one right off the bat. A well-traveled gentleman. Mr. Mike Keane. Was he a Ranger?
No.
I'm going to say not a Ranger.
Not a Ranger.
Boom! He was a Ranger.
What?
I even surprised myself. I Googled. I was like, "Oh, this is a crappy pick. I better check just to make sure." But I got to think of a harder one. And I typed it in. Sure enough, he played 70 games, one season as a New York Ranger. Wow. And to me, like that really epitomizes Wuzzy Ranger.
That's the
Mike Keane was a Ranger.
When?
I don't even remember. I don't think he remembers.
Going on my phone. I'm like legit fascinated.
I'm
like,
gobsmacked that he was a Ranger.
Like at what point?
I think if we pitched this to Mike Keane, he'd say no, I wasn't.
No, I wasn't a Ranger.
I played against the Rangers.
Yep.
What a Ranger is. Was he a Ranger? Is the best game ever.
Do you guys have Rangers to toss out into the mix?
Oh, here? I've got Rangers or possibly not Rangers to toss out. So between Colorado and Dallas, that's when he played in New York. That's incredibly forgettable.
Wow.
That's so forgettable. That was a very good one. All right, so. So I got a good one here. Dave Gagne.
Ooh. Father of Sam.
Father of Sam.
What we think of it as a tidbit, when I worked at a hardware store, Dave Gagne once came in when I was like 17.
What did he buy?
I don't remember. That job was just acting. I just memorized a bunch of things, pretended I was handy. Oh. You're going to need a primer for that. No idea what I was talking about.
You were Tim Allen?
I'm going to go no again.
I gotta say no. I picture him as a Leaf. I picture him as a North Star. I'm gonna go no for Dave Gagne.
Dave Gagne was a Ranger.
Oh, come on.
Dave Gagne debuted with the Rangers.
Wow.
Yes, spent parts of 84, 85, and 86. And 87.
Long time Rangers.
Jeez.
Yeah. Wow. See, I was my first memories of Dave Gagne were of his OPC hockey card when he was with the Minnesota North Stars. It was just a shot of him leaning and looking up at the scoreboard. So I always thought of him as a North Star, but he was a Ranger.
Wow.
I wonder what trade he would have been involved in, and was he traded? So he went from the Rangers to the North Stars. I'm picturing Mike Gartner, because I'm trying to remember when Gartner was a Capital. Did Gartner get traded from the North Stars to the Rangers? I need to look this up.
I do not have this information on me right now.
I'm going to look it up as soon as I get off this podcast, which is right now. Thank you guys for listening. We will be back next week.